I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Welcome back to our program, your favorite program, I Love Islam. We've got Uncle Gohar in the studio. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
MashaAllah, Azawajal, Uncle Gohar is all. You're looking a bit Turkish today, aren't you?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. So hopefully, inshallah, Azawajal is going to go through some of the stories and help me out with the program. Let's kickstart the program. So let's start our program from the story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
MashaAllah, the story we're going to be doing today is Zulqarnain and Yajuj Majuj. Uncle Gohar, are you ready for it? MashaAllah, he is ready for the story. We're all ready for it as well. So get your thinking caps on and inshallah, let's take it away.
So alhamdulillah, Zulqarnain and Ya'juj, Ma'juj, their story and the incidents which have taken place are mentioned in the Quran. So let's briefly go through who is Zulqarnain.
Thik.
So Zulqarnain, he was not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Zulqarnain, in fact, he was the maternal cousin of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam.
MashaAllah.
So him, Khidr alayhi salam and Zulqarnain, they were cousins.
Like their moms were sisters.
Yeah, their moms were sisters.
Masin Abu Tarza.
Masin Abu Tarza. So Khidr alayhi salam, he was a minister in Zulqarnain because Zulqarnain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed him he was a ruler of the whole earth.
MashaAllah.
He had the commandments, he had ruled the full earth. And Khidr alayhi salam was the minister of his of his reign, of his area.
His kingdom.
His kingdom.
Ji.
And so Zulqarnain alayhi salam, initially he embraced Islam on the hands of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam.
MashaAllah.
So the great Prophet, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is the person who Zulqarnain alayhi salam embraced Islam on the hands of.
MashaAllah.
So why is he called Zulqarnain? In actual fact, his name is Sikandar.
Sikandar.
Sikandar. And his title was Zulqarnain.
Right, right.
So scholars have given many different reasons why he was called Zulqarnain. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he told us that he had the title of Zulqarnain, which means the one with two horns.
Right.
Zulqarnain literally means the one with two horns.
MashaAllah.
Because he made the journey of the two horns of the world, meaning that he went off from the two corners of the world, from east to west.
Allah,
he traveled
Allah.
All around the world.
MashaAllah.
This is one explanation that the scholars give. This is the reason why he is called Zulqarnain. So this is one opinion. Another opinion was because in Arabic, Qarn is like a period of time, which refers to around 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they say Zulqarnain because his reign, he lasted for two Qarns, meaning 200 years.
Wow,
so that's one of the reasons why they say this person is called Zulqarnain. And another reason which is given is that Sikandar or Zulqarnain, he had two locks, i.e. Zulfain. He had two long hairs. So that's the reason why he is called Zulqarnain.
MashaAllah.
So after this, that's what many people now call him. He's not known, family is known as Zulqarnain. He's not known as Sikandar. So this man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed him with the kingdom of the entire earth. And in the entire mankind, there's only been four individuals who had this reign, this kingdom. Two were believers and two were non-believers.
Yeah.
Among the believers, you have Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam and you have Zulkarnain. Whilst amongst the unbelievers, you have a person called Bakht Nasr and an individual called Namrud. So two people from the Muslims, from the believers, was Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam and Zulkarnain. And the two people from the disbelievers were Bakht Nasr and Namrud. And there'll be a fifth king, which will come, inshallah.
Masha'Allah.
And that's going to be a person who will be from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And his name will be Imam Mahdi.
There's so many beautiful stories in the Quran, but why other stories have been mentioned is because Allah Azza wa Jal wants to teach us lessons in the form of stories so that we can learn from them and safeguard ourselves. There's so many in the Quran as well. And this beautiful book is called Quranic Wonders. If you don't have one, then you need to download it. It is pure wonders of the Quran. Jee, inshallah. So that takes us to the end of our first segment, mashallah, the story. Now we're going to move on to our next segment, which is Islamic manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love.
Quranic, we're going to do Islamic manners, and we're helping others in difficulties. Yeah, so helping others in difficult time. Why is it important to help people? I've got a story to share as well. Basically, what happened was we were driving on the M74 towards Glasgow, and it was raining cats and dogs, as they say. A lot of rain. There was a lot of water on the motorway as well, and every few miles you'll have a sign that surface water, and which is very dangerous because your cars can slip as well. So I reduced my speed according to a good driver. I just reduced my speed, but there was this car in front of me, and because it was about 100 meters, all I saw was two red lights going this way, and I thought, why are they going this way? So when I went close, I realized that it might be a car that slipped off. So what happened is their car turned round a few times, then it slipped off the motorway down an embankment, and then banged against a tree. So as a good Samaritan, it was raining it down, so I parked on the hard shoulder, and I went out, put my phone light on, I went down and I saw these guys, they were coming out, alhamdulillah they survived. You know, they were non-Muslims, but when it comes to humanity, we should help everyone. So I went there and I said to him, look, if you need any help, I'm still here. Alanki, I only had about 20 minutes to get to Glasgow for my bayan. So because you know this was a life and death situation, I said, look, I'm willing to help you guys. Don't worry, I'll stay if you want. You can come and sit in my car. He said, oh, no, it's okay. We'll call the ambulance. They should be on their way. So I went on my way. But it's very important. So when it is to do with people, we need to help them. Uncle, any of you stories?
I'd just like to mention some hadith regarding the blessing of helping people.
MashaAllah.
A hadith narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He says that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said that there are some people who Allah azza wa jalla has created to cater for the need of others, to help the need of others. People approach them when they are in need.
MashaAllah.
These are the very people who will be safe from the torment of Allah on the Day of Judgment.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
So if we help people, and if we give our hands, if we see someone in difficulty, with that helping, by that the wasila of helping people, inshallah, the Day of Judgment, the torment, we won't feel the torment on the Day of Judgment.
SubhanAllah.
So this is one big blessing. Whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, as a human, we should help that individual. If it's a non-Muslim, that person, he might see this is the characteristics of a Muslim, he might come closer to Islam. Gee. Might accept Islam.
Anything else, Uncle Gohar, about that?
Once an individual came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which deed is the most rewarding?
SubhanAllah.
Which action is the most rewarding? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says that making your Muslim brother happy,
SubhanAllah,
or paying his debt, or giving food to him.
MashaAllah.
So this is one of those actions that is the most rewarding.
Alhamdulillah. And MashaAllah as well, the Muslim people do help around a lot as well. Yes. You know, in this FGRF, MashaAllah, during the floods in Pakistan, where sadly millions of people were displaced, they lost their homes, the Muslim community got together. And Alhamdulillah as well, millions and billions of rupees was donated through Dawat-e-Islami as well. And many other NGOs and organizations that helped him, because Dawat-e-Islami can't get everywhere. So Alhamdulillah, a lot of organizations got together and helped these Muslims. And this is the beauty. You know, when someone needs you and you are there for him, like Uncle Gohar said, that person will appreciate that more. Now, if there's loads of people helping, now you're helping as well, it doesn't make that much of a difference. But when someone needs that money, and when someone desperately needs your help, and you are there helping them. So let's, you know, learn a lesson from this as well. All my nephews and nieces who are at home, what can we do at home to help each other? For example, your mom at home, help her with the cooking, not eating it. Yeah, that's going to happen later. But help with the cooking. Help your mom cook the food. Help her wash the dishes. Help your mom at home. Help your dad at home, wherever is possible, whatever you can do.
There's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, which says that a mu'min, a believer, is like a mirror for another believer. A mu'min is a brother to a mu'min. So a believer is a brother to a believer. Wherever he meets his brother, he protects him from harm and he safeguards him in his absence.
MashaAllah.
Meaning that when you see a brother, you help him out. But in his absence, we shouldn't backbite about people.
Gee.
We shouldn't talk about people behind their backs. So what happens that we love to backbite about people, and especially the viewers of Madani channel, that you shouldn't even be doing that. If you see something wrong in your child, you shouldn't be telling another person. You're just telling your child to him that do this, next time don't do that. And this sadly we are common in society, and we should save ourselves from backbiting, because we can. This is another way that a believer is a person who does not backbite another believer.
Gee.
That's a true believer.
I think, you know, with kids, yeah, what happens is they might be talking bad about us. You know, they might be playing with them. As soon as they go home, they say, "I didn't like him. I don't like him anyway." You know, so that is bad to say that. If you have to say something, say it in front of the person, but nothing bad, something good. Even he might say, "Well, I'll say it on his face, then I'm not scared of him." Yeah, it is not a matter of being scared.
Hurting.
It's a matter of hurting someone's feeling. Jekyll Gore, anything more regarding helping others at difficult times?
Another great blessing is that if you help someone, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever offers hospitality to a believer, helps him out, he will be bestowed with servants in paradise by the grace of Allah. So someone does this, he'll have servants in paradise. And from this we understand that helping individual, this is one way to attain paradise as well.
SubhanAllah. And then another very important thing, Uncle Gohar, is when someone does help you, appreciate his help as well. At least say Jazakallahu khaira, say thank you to him. Why? Because he's helped you. As the scholars, they mention that the one who does not thank the creation will not thank Allah.
Yes.
So if you can't thank people, how can you thank Allah Azza wa Jal? So at home, your mother helps you so much. She cooks the food, she washes your clothes, she does the ironing, she does the cleaning. Have you ever said, "Mom, Jazakallahu khaira"? Yeah, then you can say thank you, but just don't only say thank you, because thank you is a good thing, but Jazakallahu khaira is an Islamic term of saying thank you, because you'll be rewarded for that as well. Your dad who works all day, mashallah, he goes through thick and, you know, thin, a very, very hard job as well. Say thank you to him as well, especially if he's working, mashallah, really hard. See, he fulfills all your needs. Whenever you want something, they'll give it to you. So we need to say Jazakallahu khairan.
Another thing is that you shouldn't remind people of the favors you have done on them. So if you didn't help someone out, you shouldn't later on remind him, "Look,
I did it for you.
I did this to you. Now you're doing this to me."
Gee.
So you should never remind people of your favors as well.
SubhanAllah. I think there's so much that we've learned, especially in this segment, that we should help each other. And when you do help someone, do not make him remember or remind that you were the one that helped him. Do it for the pleasure of Allah. The next segment is Islamic ruling.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
MashaAllah, there we are. The Islamic ruling we're going to learn is the method of missed salah. Uncle Gaur, are you ready for that?
Missed salah. First, let's hear a narration regarding the punishment a person will gain if he misses namaz first. So it is mentioned that in hell, there's a valley whose name is Whale.
Not the whale that swims in the
water. No. That's the name of this valley called Whale. And he said that if you put the mountains of the entire world into this valley, they will melt due to its heat. Due to the heat of this valley, all the mountains of this world will melt. And this, who's this valley for? It's for those people who are sluggish, who are lazy in their salah, offer their salah beyond the stipulated time, i.e. meaning after the time. So Ridiyas Qaza. This valley is for these individuals. So from this narration, we should take heed and take some warning that we should not be lazy in our namaz. We should be punctual in our namaz. Read our namaz the best ways possible according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah, so whenever you read your namaz, it should be on time.
On time. So on time, the word is ada in the Arabic language, and that means doing a specific act within a stipulated time. For example, reading namaz within its time. So reading Zuhr before Asr starts, that is ada. And qada means reading doing an act out of a stipulated time. So for example, you miss Zuhr, now you're reading your Asr time, now this will be qada. So miss salah, if an individual has missed his namaz, the first thing this individual needs to do is repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I am remorse, I regret from my actions, and now I make a promise that I will not do this act again in missing namaz. Because this is one of the pillars of Islam. As Muslims, there are five pillars, and one of the essential pillars is our namaz, reading our salah. And namaz, it is farz upon an individual for a boy from the age of 12, or if he's not hit puberty, and then at the age of 15, that person will have to automatically, it's farz for him to read namaz. And for a girl, it's from the age of 9 to 15. So at the age of 15, if she's not hit puberty, then she will automatically have to read, it's farz for her to read namaz. And this is the age according to the Islamic year. So your Islamic age. So whatever your age is according Islamically, that's when your namaz will be farz upon you. So if a person has missed his namaz, now he wants to make his namaz up. What is the method of making your miss salah up? First, you have to calculate. When did you start missing your namaz? Well, if you don't remember, then go to the age of 12. For a boy and for a girl from the age of 9, start calculating your namaz then. And then what you can do, an easy way of making up your namaz, is that you can either, first of all, read all your Fajr Qaza, whichever, how many Qaza namaz you have of Fajr, read them all. Once you've done them, then go to Zuhr, and then Asr, and then Maghrib, then Isha. And for Qaza, you just have to read the farz of that namaz. So for example, if you missed Fajr namaz, you'll have to read 2 farz qaza. Zuhr will be 4 farz qaza. Asr, 4 farz of Asr will be qaza. Maghrib will be just the 3 farz. But for Isha, is the 4 farz and the 3 witr, which are wajib. So if you missed Isha, you have to make these 2 things up. The 4 farz and the 3 witr as well.
Okay.
Because the witr are wajib.
MashaAllah.
There are also some shortcuts where if you do these ways, it'll reduce your time in reading your namaz, in your qaza namaz as well. For example, instead of reading a nafil, the 2 nafil of Zuhr, instead of reading the 2 nafil of Zuhr, read your 4 farz which are qaza. So wherever there's nafil namaz, read your qaza namaz in that place as well. And another way of reducing your time in making up the missed salah is whenever, for example, when you go to ruku or you go to sajda, and you have to read Tasbih, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. You have to read it 3 times. Instead of reading it 3 times, you can read it once. You'll be done, and you could do Sami Allahu liman hamida and get up from that position as well. So the tasbihat, you could read them once. This will also shorten your time as well. So after listening to these ways of making up your missed namaz, the views of Madini channel, we should all, if we have ever missed our namaz or ever been negligent in our namaz, we should all from today make an intention that we will make our namaz up. Inshallah, we will try our best. And those viewers who do read their namaz, read according, try your best, read the books of laws of salah, the way mentioned in there, the sunnah way of reading namaz, how to stand in qiyam, what's the sunnah method of going in sajda, and inshallah this will bring more beauty in your namaz as well.
Mashallah.
Bring more blessings and barakah. You should make up your missed namaz, and those who do, like I was saying, those who do read their namaz, try to perfect your namaz. And also another method of perfecting your namaz is learn the translation as well. Whatever you're reading in namaz, Surah Al-Fatiha, Subhanakallahumma, Surah Ikhlas, learn the translation, and this will help you to bring more concentration in namaz as well. You'll know what you're reading, you'll understand what you're conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one beautiful way of how to perfect your namaz and make it more beautiful.
MashaAllah, excellent, subhanAllah. That was the importance of method of missing salah. The thing is, like Uncle Gohar mentioned, we shouldn't miss our salah deliberately. That is a very big sin. For example, you've gone out shopping with your mom and dad. You know, no one should be missing the salah. You've gone to a wedding, you shouldn't miss your salah. You've gone to the park, make sure you go when it's time for salah. Then leave everything and offer your salah. The thing is, we need to understand what is important. Our salah is important. And I guarantee you, many people did appreciate that as well. I was talking to an Islamic brother, and he was in a flight. He was flying. And it was a normal, you know, carriers that you fly in locally. It wasn't one of the big airlines. And he said that it's time for salah. Can I offer my salah? And he said that I was shocked that they made room for me. They put a cloth down and they said, you can offer your salah. So they were Muslims. They were not Muslims. So he says, I stood up, offered my salah. And then, you know, in these airlines, when you buy a coffee, you pay for it. And they said, they came around and they gave me a cup of coffee as well. You know, so where Allah, that's a reward from Allah in the world. Just imagine the reward of Allah will be in the hereafter. So let's all make the intention. All my nieces and nephews, make your intention never, ever to miss your salah again. Say loudly, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Gee, let's go towards our last segment for today. Sunnah lifestyle.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sunnah lifestyle is. I've done it as well. Yawning. That's it. Yawning. Yes, Uncle Gohar, can you tell us about yawning?
Regarding yawning. Yawning is something which is from shaitan. And when any one of you yawns, when anyone yawns, he should control it as much as possible. Sometimes you see people, they open their mouths up, open, and they don't put their hands there.
Gee.
It just doesn't look pleasing as well. And it's something which is from shaitan as well. So especially you should try to control your yawn. And a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he says that when one of you yawns, he should put his hand over his mouth. Shaitan might enter your mouth. Now the question mark comes, how does shaitan enter our mouth? So the scholars, when they explain this hadith, they say this means that you'll start having shaitanic whispers in your mind. That you'll start having bad thoughts in your mind. So that's why when you yawn, you should put your hands over your mouth as well. Another thing is that you should try to sleep on time as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes what happens, we don't sleep on time, we be tired, that's why we start yawning as well. So especially kids, when your parents tell you to go to your bed, go to sleep, listen to your parents and go to bed straight away. So a lot of kids, they don't listen and they want to stay downstairs, watch TV or carry on playing on their phones. But you should, because you have school the next day as well, you need to be energetic. So you should try to sleep on time as well.
MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal, it's the end of the program. I hope you enjoyed today's program. I can't wait to see you next week. And I hope, inshallah, next week we're going to get more. I hope to see you next week. Take care of yourselves. What's your favorite program?
I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. Islam. I love